So asking this question, looking at this question of how do you sculpt this hierarchical global reality? There's an article I hope folks check out from the Epoch Times, April 11 to 17, 2013, which is propaganda from beginning to end. And we could probably do a whole show on this one little article, but we got other things we got to talk about. And it's called The EU as Last Ditch Escape Artist by Jonathan Fenby. He published this in Yale Global Online. And what he writes is that, quoting the beginning of the article, Europe's progress toward greater unity, doesn't that sound good? Over the past half century has always been a messy business. So why is the 40-month-old Eurozone crisis any different? And I'm still quoting Mr. Fenby. With the embarrassing case of Cyprus handled, won't this all end with yet another patched together solution? The answer, he says, is probably no. And the ramifications of what is happening reach far beyond the kind of late night settlements which European leaders have been so adept at cobbling together in the past. The crisis that started with Greece's 2009 disclosure of a black hole in its budget is broader in scope and more interconnected from what went on before. He writes, the Euro crisis involves fundamental issues which European leaders skirted as the common market trading bloc of the 1950s evolved into today's highly complex machine based on Brussels with a common currency that remains a work in progress. So with these opening paragraphs, he's sort of laying down his main purpose or agenda. What's the right word? Advocacy. His main advocacy is that he wants more systematic control over the region. And when he said that the Euro crisis involves fundamental issues, immediately you think, okay, what are those fundamental issues? And then you hang in there looking for those fundamental issues, which he doesn't mention again until very briefly at the end. He quotes the Dutch head of Eurogroup, which he says is Eurogroup is a formal intergovernmental organization of the zone's finance ministers, apparently caused alarm in some of these losers of the Euro crisis or the crafting of the Europe he's trying to advocate for, a unified, quote unquote, unified Europe. This Dutch head of Eurogroup said that what happened to Cyprus is a model for the future. Shareholders in insolvent banks in countries needing rescue would be hit first, followed by bondholders, and then uninsured depositors. And though Dijsselbloem, I was trying to avoid saying his name because I don't know how to pronounce it. His name, the Dutch head of Eurogroup, is Jeroen Dijsselbloem. Dijsselbloem swiftly withdrew that statement, writes Mr. Fenby. Though Dijsselbloem swiftly withdrew that statement, the future seems plain as other smaller Eurozone members come under scrutiny and investors face the prospect of finding their capital expropriated as the result of decisions by politicians desperate to prevent the common currency from unraveling, which he paints in this article as, you know, a disaster of the highest order. And if you're still hanging on to trying to figure out what those fundamental issues are, he comes back to it towards the end. He says, quote, the need for structural reform, including labor markets, has been evident for decades. But the easy early years of the Eurozone lulled governments and citizens into complacency. Now the price is being paid and the battle lines are drawn between the austerity-minded North European states. And just to interrupt for a minute, Mr. Fenby, as always, you got to have insiders and outsiders. That's part of the key philosophy of hierarchy, obviously. And it goes back to Plato, the citizen-barbarian divide, which we've talked about on this show. And he's arguing that, you know, there are the austerity-minded Northern European states he's painting with a very broad brush, because we all know that we have lots, in fact, the majority of brothers and sisters in those northern European states who aren't complacently wagging their finger at Greece and Portugal and Spain and saying, shame on you, shame on you, you profligate, lazy worker, quote unquote. And we're going to talk about that word worker. I mean, I cannot tell you how much it disturbs me that I'm not hearing anybody trying to set that word aside. But in any case, my point is that even though he's trying to create this us against them, the noble North Europe versus the lazy Southern Europe, we know that's not true. And I hope our brothers and sisters in that area of the world don't get duped by this kind of propaganda. But anyway, he says that the leaders of these Northern European states cannot, for fear of losing the support of our brothers and sisters in Germany, Angela Merkel cannot appear to be offering concessions. He writes that German voters would see this as pandering to countries which, to their view, have already been allowed to get away with fecklessness for far too long. Extremist parties and movements that denounce the political establishment have made ground in Italy and Greece. Is that true? I mean, because I heard a woman from Greece saying that all of a sudden there's this, and it's not, she was arguing that it wasn't homegrown, this fascist movement that's arising in Greece. She was wondering, where did they come from? We have to always, always remember that power has trillions to keep tabs on what we're doing, the state of the resources of the planet. Make those calculations between how many people this current system can sustain and how many it cannot. Recognizes that when it can't deliver the goods, we begin to get restless, if not sooner, if we factor in our souls among the goods that we want to keep, believe we deserve access to, that they have money to monitor these things and pay people to cause havoc in the streets. That's what the money lever is for. So when we read things like this, that, you know, these extremist parties are rising in Italy and Greece, keep in mind that these countries have deep, well, all of us have a deep history of resistance to totalitarianism. We know the costs probably better than ever before. So I would caution us to ignore that. Ignore that. Treat it like propaganda when he says that extremist parties are rising. I bet they are, but I also bet they are very, very well funded and very tiny in percentage compared to the vast majority of us.